in layers?
Let's call the December 17th, 2018 Finance Committee to order. I would ask for a motion for approval of the agenda. Mr. Leader, second Mr. Fay, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for approval of the minutes of November 26, 2018 Finance Committee. Mr. Perkins, Mr. Burke, Mr. Arquette, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Move on to solid waste. I would ask for a motion for a resolution for authorization to fill a heavy equipment operator position in the solid waste department. Mr. Akers, Mr. Forsyth.
Thank you. As you, I think all are aware, we had a difficult 2018 with vacancies and such in the solid waste department. And this is this request is a result of a retirement within the department. And, you know, these individuals, you know, run the equipment at the transfer station and also provide for the transportation of recyclables and solid waste. So it's a critical need for us to have these positions filled.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
I would ask for a motion for a resolution for authorization to abolish a crane operator position and create and fill heavy equipment operator position in the Department of Highways. Mr. Lightfoot, Mr. Forsyth.
Yes, this vacancy is a result of a retirement. The crane operator position is basically an old position that really should be rewritten to a heavy equipment operator. We no longer own a crane within the department, and the crane that we did have was not adequate for the type of projects that we were currently constructing. Most of the projects where we need a crane and now is a lot of them are concrete beams that we get from like Jefferson Precast, and the capacity of the crane that we had was maybe a quarter or less a lot of time of what we would need for our operations. So that crane was done away with and sold at auction, and the need to regrade this position now that it's vacant is not as needed.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Would ask for a motion on a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract for St. Lawrence County Bridge Preservation Project, bins 33408503341310, 3341710, 3341720, pin 775378. Mr. Lightfoot, Mr. Akers.
Just to give you a little bit of background on this, these are four very large structures. If I may give you the location, County Road 46, Messina Racket River Road, County Road 17 and Old DeKalb near 812 over the Oswegatchie, County Road 8 and Rossi over Indian River, and also County Road 3 and Rossi over the Indian River. This project is going to be 80% federal funded, 15% state, 5% county. This project was initiated in the 2019 budget and now is funded, is going to be funded by the DOT. And we have gone through our selection process and have solicited the quote from Barton LaJudas for amount not to exceed $290,000.
Questions or comment? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Ask for a resolution on a motion for use of county-owned machinery. Mr. Burke, Mr. Akers.
This resolution is an annual resolution that the legislature does that allows the Department of Highways to do shared services with municipalities throughout the county. The county relies on doing business with the towns and villages as much as they rely on us. So I urge that you pass that so we continue to do our shared services with the multiple municipalities.
Mr. Forsythe.
Yeah, Doug, what happens if something breaks? Who's responsible?
Typically, if we do an operation and our piece of equipment goes there, our operators are operating. So we would fix our own equipment or vice versa. If the town breaks their piece of equipment, would fix that. But it's, you know, we typically don't just send a piece of equipment, even though we do occasionally. Most of the time we send our own operator with it.
Okay. Yep.
Any other questions? Mr. Akers.
Don, in the case when we send our operator, do we bill for the labor or we just exchange that also?
It depends. If the municipality wants to receive a bill, we bill the municipality. If they want to take care of that under shared services, we do that as well. Typically, it would be just for an equipment operator. For an equipment operator, we don't usually get down to, okay, it's this dollars and cents of that. It's just a hour for hour for services usually.
Okay, thank you.
Any other questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.
Now we get an update on the state of the forest.
Good evening, everyone. Ryan Dulansky from Soil and Water. And I'd like to introduce Aaron Berger, who's the new district forester. He began at the beginning of August, so he's been with us for about 5 months. Before Aaron starts with his update on the forestry, just real quickly, I'd like to take the opportunity to thank our current board of legislative representatives to the Soil and Water Board, Mr. Colbert and Mr. Paquin. They have served for a number of years, and starting next year, we're looking forward to working with two new representatives from this legislature. And I'd also like to take a second and plug an upcoming event. We've been, a number of partners have worked together and are putting together an event we're calling Financial Strategies for Farming Operations, Tips for Success. This will take place on January 8th at Cooperative Extension. It's to give struggling ag producers some tips and ideas on programs that are out there that they may not be aware of. So, without any further ado, here's Aaron.
First off, I'd like to say sorry for my voice. I'm a little under the weather today. This year's timber sale took place on Area 18 in the town of Brazier on 85 acres of county reforestation land. 539.5 thousand board feet were sold to Seaway Timber Harvesting, above the expected revenue goal. They plan to harvest this winter, and the sale was comprised mostly of white pine. Sales for 2019, I plan to harvest areas 1, 5, and 24, which are located in villages of Madrid and Stockholm. For other activities, a tree planting and care workshop was held at the Bend in the River Park and at the Canton Recreational Pavilion on October 13th in collaboration with Soil and Water, Cornell Cooperative Extension, the Canton Tree Committee, the Village Canton Department of Public Works, and the St. Lawrence County EAB Task Force. The tree planting workshop was led by Paul Hetzler from CCE, and participants were taught proper tree selection, planting techniques, and tree care. A total of 18 trees were planted to replace some of the existing ash trees that will be lost to the emerald ash borer, and some of the ash trees that have been proactively removed already. Additionally, Soil and Water established 200 live stakes along the river at the park to help further prevent erosion with the absence of the ash trees. The district was able to obtain funding from the project, which was utilized to purchase nursery stock and to pay staff for staff time, planning, and implementation of the project. The workshop, which was open to the public, was attended by 18 participants. Under forest pests, specifically emerald ash borer, we've been working with the St. Lawrence County EAB Task Force, and this year EAB has confirmed two new locations in the villages of Hammond and Messina. With this new information, the task force will be shifting more efforts towards inventorying ash trees along roadways within a 20-mile buffer of the St. Lawrence River, and plan to collaborate with the DOT and the surrounding municipalities to complete data on the number of ash trees that occur within the right-of-ways or within striking distance on the roadways. This will help generate cost analysis for tree removals and a numerical value of liability issues that may occur as a result of falling trees. Soil and Water plan to offer assistance to the Village of Messina in applying for Great Lakes Restoration Initiative Urban Forest Restoration Watershed Protection Grant funding in fiscal year 2019 to help replace ash trees in urban areas and parks within Messina. Messina has already completed an urban forest inventory management plan through the New York State DEC Forestry Grant, which is one of the requirements when applying for GLRI grant funding. So they will have a high probability of receiving the grant and will also be one of the first villages most affected by EAB because of its proximity to previously discovered EAB infestations such as Akwesasne, where it has been since 2016. One of the district's goals will be to help municipalities address their concerns regarding EAB and to help them better prepare for the damage to urban forest environments. As far as county reforestation land is concerned, EAB does not pose as large of an issue due to the fact that ash trees only make up 2% of county forests, which is less than one tree per acre. Though one potential liability issue would be ash trees that occur along county recreational systems, specifically the Stone Valley Trail in Colton, which is very popular and heavily used. The ash trees that occur along this trail will need to be removed for public safety, and Soil Water plan to work with Brookfield to schedule the removal of these trees. For the Forestry Fund, based off of the current 20-year cutting cycle, the estimated available board foot volumes, and the current markets for softwood, cutting an annual budget revenue of $48,500 worth of timber annually will realistically only last for the next 8 years. After 8 years, harvesting will have to be postponed for the next 7 years until 2034 to allow the residual timber to reach reachable size in order to stay in the current cutting rotation and to provide a continued supply of timber to harvest. In order to sustain any kind of annual revenue, we would need to cut half as much volume per year. We currently cut between 250 and 550 board feet, 1,000 board feet, depending on species and market. Many of the county reforestation lands have been previously cut, will not reach optimal rotation age until 2034 or in 15 years. If the current cutting regimen of budgeted annual revenue is continued, the rotation length will be changed as a result. The rotation length is the key component of even age forest management systems, which is the current system that we use on county forest lands. Shortening rotation times can have a detrimental effect on future forest productivity, whereas extended rotation times are expected to yield larger maximum tree diameters, as well as more time for the accumulation of deadwood and undergrowth of shade-tolerant trees and shrubs, yielding healthier, more productive forests. A general implementation of shortened rotation means that at any given time, a large portion of the forest will be in the clear-cut stage or young forest phase. Conversely, longer rotations imply smaller portions of forest in clear-cut or young phase, but increase the presence of overmature stands, which also reduce productivity. Overall, it is very important to stay on a scheduled rotation length to ensure the mean annual increment is met and that the trees are harvested at the optimal rotation age to maximize profit and productivity. In comparing with other districts' budgeted annual revenue levels, we currently have one of the highest. Their districts have much smaller annual revenue goals, and they actually have more acreage and higher value timber species than we do. In summary, if we continue to cut the current budgeted annual revenue, we will run out of timber to harvest in 8 years. If we reduce the budget to 28,000 annually, we will be able to sustain a continued revenue and stay on track with the current cutting rotation length.
So after a conversation with Ruth, we would like to provide you with additional information on the forest management plan that is developed for the county land. And allow time for the new legislators an opportunity to become familiar with it. And then we would like to come back in late spring and revisit this topic prior to the budget season.
Mr. Forsythe.
Ruth, correct me if I'm wrong. A few years back, didn't we just not cut at all? Wasn't there a couple of years back, like 2008, 2009?
I think a little bit earlier than that.
And we just said no cutting. For a
we
couple
did.
Of years just to let it catch up?
And I believe so. And then we also then, within the last 5 years, I believe almost doubled, or at least a third again. We're up in the 70,000s for revenue and cut more.
Yeah.
So I don't know if we undid any benefit at that from that
right.
break, but
another thing,
when you
talk optimizing revenue, red pine doesn't change, fluctuate too much in price normally, where the oak and the maple...
Correct.
You want to hit those right at the right.
Yep.
Yeah. Do we have much of that? A percentage of maple? Any idea what the percentage is?
Not a lot, no. It's mostly white pine, scotch pine, red pine.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Arquette.
So, just to bring into perspective, you know, what we're talking about, you said recently you harvested 85 acres, I believe you said, in Brazier, and at about 59,000 board feet. What type of revenue generation is a specific plot like that? Is that kind of, you know, the normal size, or, you know, the 85 acres? Because did you say Seaway Timber did that?
Yes.
I thought they didn't even do anything less than 100 acres at a time.
That's kind of the other issue, is we're running out of large tracts of timber to harvest, so it's less desirable to companies to actually come in and do the work. We're looking at more smaller tracks, and it's honestly, they'll lose money by taking all their equipment in and trying to cut a little bit of wood versus a larger tract. The 85 acres in particular had a lot of mature, over mature timber to harvest, so a lot of value is there.
$67,900. Anybody else have questions? Mr. Baker.
So, Aaron, with this rotation that we have currently, that minimized fire hazard, if we get a drought here, or extended drought, or a multi-year drought, with having a new forest and with that type of management?
Yes. I think I'd have to look. I'm way too new. I'd have to look and see actually how much county land has not been cut at all. I think it's only like 3 or 5 parcels around there. So a lot of it has been managed, which is good for...
Okay. And those that have not been cut, they would be of the highest hazard, possibly, with the undergrowth?
Yep.
Depending on the species, of course.
Dead standing species, yep. Stock, yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Morgan.
In the town of Clare, there's a forest company that cuts called Malvis. The town of Clare gets stumpage fees, and so does the county. How does that play into this?
Stumpage fees?
Yes. Is that state lands, or?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
I'm just mentioning one thing.
Yeah. It could be 480A tax law.
That's what he's talking
okay.
about.
You're recommending that we extend the cut and not so that we're cutting a little bit every year. Is that
yes, reducing the current annual budget to half. That way it would be extended out to an additional 8 years, and it would actually set up everything to continue on, and it would make it so we're not cutting as much per year, but we're extending the time in which the trees can grow and actually replace what we're taking out.
So the recommendation is based on the health of the forest and the growth rate of what's there now?
Yes.
Thank you.
Correct.
If you recall, probably about 4 weeks ago, Rayanne and I spoke when the bids were out, and the expectation was that we were going to come in about $12,000 behind what the revenue was expected this year. So there was a bit of surprise of how the bids did this year. And I've encouraged them to re-educate, certainly educate the new legislators coming in, be able then on the normal schedule for the State of the Forest to come back, as Rayanne indicated, and then we can make a budget recommendation ahead of that process altogether.
Any other questions? Over.
Just a comment. I've served on this Soil and Water Board for 4 years, and this really is, the Soil and Water District is a hidden gem in St. Lawrence County. There's a lot that they do for the good of our county, and it's a pretty enjoyable group over there. We've got a pretty good resource right here in our backyard.
Anyone else? All right. Thank you very much. Real property. Ask for a motion on a resolution correcting and refunding erroneous taxes. Mr. Hooper, second. Mr. Burke.
Good evening. This is a yearly resolution for correcting tax bills and refunding taxes on errors. Errors can be a property owner that's entitled to an enhanced STAR exemption but was only given a basic STAR exemption. When that's brought to our attention, then we can correct that between our office and the county treasurer's office, and we recommend then to the school board that they should send back the difference in money. This is for an amount less than $2,500. We can do it within.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, person.
Thank you.
For the Treasurer's Office, I would ask for a motion on a resolution authorizing blanket bond in lieu of individual sureties for county officials and employees. Mr. Lightfoot, second. Mr. Forsyth.
All right, so this is an annual resolution authorizing a blanket bond in lieu of individual sureties for county officials. There's been no changes to this from prior years.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a motion for a resolution for authorization of petty cash accounts and departmental cash drawers. Mr. Akers, second. Mr. Forsyth.
This, again, is an annual resolution. This one establishes the amounts of petty cash and departmental cash drawers. The only change made this year was to increase the treasurer's departmental cash drawer to $250 from $200.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a motion on a resolution for bank depositories and investment of county funds. Mr. Arquette, Mr. Perkins.
Okay, so this is the last of our annual resolutions. In July of 2018, the board amended our investment policy. So the only change we've made to the resolution in front of you was a slight shift in the maximum amounts between Community Bank and Key Bank, and I basically just aligned it to our current banking practices.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
And if
go ahead.
I was just going to note that the October bank reconciliation summary should be on Google Drive for you. And just a few minutes before the meeting started, I sent out an update for sales tax. Emailed it to you. Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Social Services, I would ask for a motion on a resolution authorizing the chair to sign an agreement with Berkshire Farms for recruitment of adoptive families. Mr. Arquette, second. Mr. Perkins.
This proposed resolution is to allow us to take advantage of a program that Office of Children and Family Services has. They have a contract with Berkshire Farms to allow a recruiter to spent part of the week here in St. Lawrence County attempting to recruit adoptive families. This is a person who'd be entirely focused on that activity in a way that our case managers and case planners and other organizations are not able to do. They have specialized training. We've worked with the program that they have, Wendy's Wonderful Kids, before, and it can be a source of hope for children who otherwise appear to have no hope of an adoptive family. It comes without charge to the county and is funded through the generosity of the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption.
Mr. Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Chris, can you tell me more details? How does this interplay with, like, does the children's home do this already?
Right. They don't have anyone who's focused entirely on this. So this isn't a situation that they would have case planners, and we have case managers, but they're involved with many other activities. There are children out there who do not have adoptive resources. Some of them may have pervasive behavioral issues. Sometimes they're older children, and the program, Wendy's Wonderful Kids, is really designed to supplement what other organizations are able to do, including ours, and carry out, with some specialized training, some strategies that have really proven very effective. So it's really above and beyond what would be possible otherwise.
Mr. Colbert.
I know the Children's Home does certify foster and adoptive families, but you have to go through a 10-week class to be able to do that. Is that same kind of thing here? And is this Berkshire Farms? Are they the ones that are offering the class, or would that be offered? They go to Children's Home, someplace at DSS? Or?
Right. So that would either be a class provided by the Children's Home or another institution or the Department of Social Services. So that they would have to participate in a training similar to that, and it would not be this recruiter who would be doing that. Again, the recruiter is really just focused on finding the families.
Anybody else? Mr. Akers.
So how will they do that? Will they, like, put ads in the paper or hold, like, seminars or open house and invite people in?
Perhaps at some point they'll reach out to the wider community, but their initial strategy that they have found very helpful is actually to look at family resources, including relatives, neighbors, friends, sometimes people who may have previously been contacted, but initially not doing that kind of wider survey, but at some point reaching out to the wider community, perhaps in the ways that you've talked about.
Anyone else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thanks, Chris.
Thank you very much.
For public health, I would ask for a motion on a resolution modifying the 2019 budget for the public health department for the opioid epidemic grant funding. Mr. Burke, Mr. Perkins.
So this is a resolution just for us to be able to move the funds that we received from the state for the grant and to start paying for some of the activities that we've started.
Any questions? Mr. Burke.
How was your meeting on Friday?
I thought it was great for our first meeting. We had 36 people there, so I thought we had great representation from, like, just many of the sectors. So that's all I could hope for.
Do you mind telling everybody what the meeting was about?
Yes. So this was our first task force we had for the opioid grant. So I tried to invite people from, like, several sectors, from law enforcement. We had the DA's office there. Many of the health sectors, from the hospitals, from the clinics, those who do the treatments for those within, like that, those who have an addiction. We had a school superintendent there, so we had lots of representation. And we just kind of talked about what the grant was going to bring on, that we're doing the countywide assessment, doing a plan to see what we have, what we don't have, that after that is done, there'll be an online dashboard to kind of show what we've kind of gathered from that data, and to make a plan. We also talked about trying to increase the number of providers we have to do this treatment. And then we kind of had just kind of an answers and kind of a questions talking about what some of the challenges are, what we thought we could work on. So we got some good ideas. The next meeting we'll have will be to bring some of the data that all the sectors might have, so some of the hospitals, some of the surveillance. And I met with a representative who does ODMAP, so he's going to come and talk about how this is kind of like a real-time application, so we can see where the overdoses are kind of happening in the like in the county. So that's about where we're at. You're welcome.
Anybody else? Mr. Colbert.
I'm glad to see this this being done. Is there any discussion on preventative measures, anything like that yet, or not there yet?
Yep. I'm not sure what area of prevention you're talking about, but we talked a lot about just trying to hold more of the events just around the community to make an awareness. So some of the events that occur are showing the documentary Chasing the Dragon, and so trying to get that to all of the school districts, and then thinking about how else we could bring that to the community, you know, not just schools. We did mention we had the police chief from SUNY Canton did make mention that he's on campus and he doesn't see anything kind of going on like to give the awareness to talk about things. So in that sense, I'm not sure that's what you were. Okay.
Anyone else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Ask for a motion on a resolution authorizing the chair to sign a contract with Albany Medical Center for Morgan Laboratory Services. Mr. Denisha, Mr. Perkins.
So this is just a follow-up from last week that I mentioned. We do need their services for when we have kind of more of the high-profile cases. And so this is just the contract that we can sign with them so that when we're in need, we can bring the cases there.
Any questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dana. For planning, I would ask for a motion on a resolution for St. Lawrence County Public. Oh, not a resolution, just a discussion. So, no vote, second necessary.
Mr. Zimmerman.
How are you, Mr. Timmerman?
Fine, Mr. Zimmerman. Thank you.
Well, I just wanted to give you a little bit of an update on the transportation system. We were on the verge of a crisis. We find ourselves now just hanging by a shoestring, so we're okay. But I wanted to let you know about the transition and kind of where we're at. Obviously, from a county management perspective, we're transitioning responsibility for this service from the Office for the Aging to the Planning Office. Matilda Larson will be heading up our effort on my staff. Operationally, this is a complicated system because we're utilizing a mix of vehicles from both the county and NYSARC. And I won't bother you with all the details, but there's two different federal programs involved, 5310 and 5311. And we're basically turning the hats and switching the meters. And so it gets complicated keeping track of the miles in the mix. All these buses have similar configurations, so that's one advantage. The county has a number of fixed routes that travel to and from at least 28 communities. 5 days a week on larger communities and 1 to 2 days a week for the smaller ones, with more than 50 pickup points being addressed in the system. And there are flag service, so a person can come and flag the bus down if it's coming by and it will stop. And there's some minor route deviation. We'll talk about that in just a minute some more. Just to let you know the numbers, for the third reporting quarter of the year, the ridership was over 15,000 passengers for one-way trips for the quarter, and we traveled more than 152,000 road miles. We also currently have an intra-city shuttle service, which we started earlier this year in Ogdensburg, which had three riders the first day. Delighted to report that we now have more than 350 riders a month, and that number is building rapidly. And we are working on the designs of an inner-city shuttle service for Messina, which we expect to be operational probably mid to late next summer. We have to acquire more vehicles to make that happen. SUNY Potsdam has a campus shuttle in Potsdam which is carrying 1,700 passengers per month through contract with us, and we are in discussions with SUNY Canton for a similar service for them as well. The fleet itself, all of our 2010 vehicles, one just died last week, there's one still running the road, but they're all expected to be retired by year's end, having well exceeded designed use expectations of about 180,000 miles. All retiring vehicles at this point are in excess of 300,000 miles. And these older buses right now are threatening to route availability. If we lose another bus, we're losing a route. That having been said, we do have four 18-passenger vehicles from 2018 on the road. We have four more due to arrive early in 2019. We anticipate delivery of two larger buses, 26, 28-passenger vehicles, in early 2019, and two more scheduled for delivery later in 2019, all of this with traditional public transit funding. We have also requested 10 more 26/28-passenger vehicles through something called the Modernization and Enhancement Program, the MEP grant, and we're waiting to hear if we're successful. That's a lovely opportunity, as there's no local match. It's 100% funded. Lastly, I wanted to let you know that we have kind of a unique first-mile, last-mile program that will arrange and provide transportation between a person's home and or final destination and the nearest bus stop. So we'll pick you up, take you to the bus, leave you there. You get on the bus, you ride it. If you go to work and you need a ride to work, we'll pick you up at that stop. We'll take you to work. All right. But for a lot of folks, access to the system itself is problematic. That route deviation we talked about before is not profound. So anybody that lives more than a mile or so away from a bus stop would have to find a way to get there. And there's a grant that helps that operate. And we have a good working relationship with the folks doing that. It's nice. That started earlier this year. We do that through the Volunteer Transportation Center, which is also our contracted mobility manager. Amazingly, there have been more than 500 first-mile, last-mile trips. And 50% of those rides are related to access to employment. 30% are related to visitation with family members, and 15% are used to access education. I think that's been a pretty successful add-on to the program. And I have to say, we're still kind of learning as we're going, but with that, I'll stop on transportation unless there's any questions, which I probably won't be able to answer.
No question.
If I may, while I have the bully pulpit, I did want to mention that our staff, working with the staff from the Public Health Department and the North Country Housing Council, recently prepared a grant in a very competitive national HUD program to educate people about and mitigate lead risk in homes occupied, in particular by low and moderate income households. Last week, we were delighted to receive a maximum $1 million award for rural areas, which we were able to co-leverage with $100,000 from another grant, so there's no cost to the county to address the concern. Disappointingly, there are over 200 children in the county currently living with reportable and trackable blood lead levels that we would like to be able to address. I want to in particular cite Heidi Ames for her work on this. She and I kind of put this together with a technical assistance and support from Dana and her staff at Public Health. Kudos to Dana. She's going to be very busy running lots of programs here shortly. And we look forward to working out some of the aspects of the implementation with the public health staff as well.
Mr. Lightfoot.
Have you gotten any word whether or not that grant that we received this year for the septic systems, the aid
yes.
in that grant, is that going to be forthcoming again next year?
Yes. I spoke with Eric Eichenlaub, who's the program administrator for that, last week. To talk about whether or not we could carry over the unexpended funds from this year. He said absolutely, and that there was an expectation it would be carried in the budget, but they won't know for sure until the budget comes out. But that was by design intended to be a five-year program, and we still have a significant number of people on the waiting list. Yes, sir.
Mr. Akers. Keith, I just want to commend you and your staff, and particularly Heidi Ames, for seeking out this grant and working in conjunction with Dana. It was amazing when you told me that some of the levels of these kids at acceptable level or the alarm level is 5, and we have some children with levels as high as 30. Is that correct?
Higher than that.
Higher than 30.
Wow.
Yeah. So
And we're talking at significant risk for permanent brain damage and other trauma in the body.
So Heidi Ames is doing a wonderful job applying for these grants and has a pretty high success rate, which is wonderful. Thank you.
Best kept secret in the county.
Anyone else?
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Ask for a motion on a resolution opposing Senate Bill 9191, quote, an act to amend the penal law in relation to requiring social media and search engine reviews prior to the approval of an application or renewal of a license to carry or possess a pistol or revolver, unquote. Mr. Forsyth, second. Mr. Lightfoot. Mr. Arquette, Mr. Denisha, Mr. Perkins. Any discussion? Mr. Akins.
This is currently a bill that's being offered by Senator Kevin Parker, who represents the Flatbush area down by New York. It was brought to my attention. It has been in the press. There's been an editorial in the Watertown paper against this bill. And what it really does is it violates our First Amendment rights as far as free speech, our Second Amendment as far as gun ownership, the right to bear arms, and the Fourth Amendment for basically keeping our papers and effects secure. It is an outrageous bill on behalf of this individual. If you look up this individual, Kevin Parker's name, in 2005, he punched a traffic agent in the face and was charged with a felony, but he agreed to take anger management classes to settle that. In 2008, an aide that was working for him filed charges claiming he pushed her and broke her glasses. On May 8th of 2009, he was charged with felony criminal mischief for attacking a New York Post photographer, breaking her camera, the door of the car, and actually her finger was broken also. As a result of that, the Senate stripped him of his leadership position as Majority Whip and Chair of the Energy Committee. And he agreed to plead guilty to a misdemeanor, and he was sentenced to 3 years probation and a $1,000 fine. So you would think that would be it, but in February of 2010, he had to be restrained by colleagues for a profane tirade against his fellow Democrat Senator Savino. This individual should not be in the Senate, and the audacity of this individual to come forth with this bill. There should be a bill removing Kevin Parker from the Senate. I heartily endorse this.
Anyone else? Mr. Burke.
Have any of our state officials weighed in on this? Any of our elected officials? I'm just curious. To be honest, I don't know enough about it to make an educated assessment of pros and cons of the bill. Just one, or even our sheriff or any of the local police. I mean, I'm certainly, I agree with Kevin that we have to be very careful to protect our rights. I guess I'm just wondering what the opposing side is saying on this.
Not that I'm aware of. Anyone else? Mr. Lightfoot.
I'd like to amend this where it says, be it further resolved, Assemblywoman Addie Jenny's name is in there. It should be deleted and substituted with Assemblyman Mark Walzik.
Is there a second for the amendment? Mr. Arquette, Mr. Denisha.
Second.
Okay. So we have an amendment, a second. Any discussion on the amendment? Mr. Denisha, to talk to the amendment.
I consider that a friendly amendment to the amendment. Yes.
It actually can be done by consent if you are willing to accept it as the sponsor of the original resolution. It's a friendly amendment.
I am willing.
So we don't need to vote on the amendment?
No.
Okay. Any more discussion on the amended resolution? Seeing none, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried.
So under County Administrator's report, we have four resolutions. So I would ask for a motion for a resolution for adoption of the rules of procedure. Mr. Lightfoot, second. Mr. Denisha. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Oh. Sorry, I'll speak to it after.
Okay. Opposed?
I would speak to this. To draw your attention to a couple of things, this is the rules of procedure that set your meeting time. And in the back of your rules of procedure, in attachment A, we put together a draft schedule for 2019. In keeping with the stance that was taken and has been taken by this board, it ends up for 2019 with 10 months because of holidays and the summer schedule for combined operations and services. We alternate which one goes first. Wanted to just draw your attention to that. The months that there are not would include, that you'd have options would be June, July, August, and December if you wanted to expand those back to the one meeting per week. Also wanted to mention to you that in keeping with the school schedule, historically, we have changed the meeting in April. So I wanted to bring your attention right now. We have services committee scheduled for April 15th. But that is also the week of the school calendar. So I just wanted to point that out if there was an interest to change that to the 22nd. Those are just some options I want to bring to your attention that we can include in the final version for the board if there's any interest in making changes.
Thank you. Okay. That motion carried. Would ask for a motion on a resolution authorizing the chair to sign contracts. Any discussion?
Did you care to speak to that one?
This resolution includes 54 organizations that we contract with. This doesn't give the authorization to sign the contract. These are contracts that are currently in force and effect. This allows the transactions to continue in 2019 as one of the years of the existing contract. It authorizes the expenditure of the funds.
So I would ask for a motion for that resolution authorizing the chair to sign contracts. Mr. Hooper, second. Akers, Mr. Lightfoot, any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Would ask for a motion for a resolution for a newspaper designation. Mr. Perkins, second. Mr. Hooper.
The newspapers designated for 2019 include the Courier Observer and the Watertown Daily Times.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I would ask for a motion for a resolution authorizing chair to request a dog quarantine. Mr. Arquette, Mr. Perkins.
I'm not saying that. I actually want to do it.
Paquin's favorite.
And he's not here.
Too bad he's not here.
Anybody would like to speak on his behalf? Mr. Forsythe.
I don't think I've ever voted for this one yet, so I might as well stay consistent. I'm against the dog quarantine, so.
I would like one of my last votes to be no, so I'll be against it as well. And I voted no on the past. Any other discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? No. Show of hands for the no's. Motion carries. And we have some additional items for the administrator's report.
Yes. An update for you on the Raise the Age plan that we're looking to get approval from the state. We have a conference call scheduled tomorrow for the second review of the documentation that's been submitted. It's my understanding through our probation director that some counties are on their sixth review with small changes, tweaks, identification of concerns, and these types of conference calls to clean them up and resubmit. So we will continue to seek approval because at that time, and at the time that we have our first case, we'd like to ensure that we can get reimbursement for those items from the state. Also, contract negotiations with the state for the indigent legal services funds associated with criminal defense is close to finalization. We have a couple other items that we're looking to draw specific dollars to, and that looks as though we're just about to the place where we can authorize the contract. Keith was able to review for you the information about transportation. We sat down with Office for the Aging to ensure a smooth transition as that moves over in January. I am working on a schedule for the first 3 months, and I've had conversations with many of you about how to bring information on departments and a refresher to those of you who have been here. When this board was seated, some of you may recall the way that the information was shared was a pre-meeting ahead of each of the committee meetings, and it became difficult to get everyone here, and attendance was low. So we thought that we may take the approach, and I'll work on a schedule for you to see, that would divide out all the jurisdictional committees as not to overwhelm you in January, but to spread it over the first 3 months and bring each department in for a few minutes to talk to you about what they do, what their mandates are. You all, including the new legislators, have copies of the department summaries, which give you an update on staffing that tells you what their mandates are and gives you 18 over 19 appropriation revenue changes. But we'd like to also get all of the departments through to have a conversation. I thought also things like transportation, we'd spend a whole period of time like we would on a department to bring everyone up to speed on where the transportation programs come from, where we are now, and what even the information Keith shared with you tonight may transform the transportation program in 2019. So if there's no objection to doing that, we'll work on a schedule. I'll share that out with everyone ahead of time so that you can plan accordingly to make sure you can attend those sessions as well. Wanted to remind all of you this is the last meeting of 2018 to wish you happy holidays. We look forward to 2019 and to ask that all new legislators pick up their iPads tonight after the meeting. Oh, and there's one other thing. I did want to share with you some concerns have been brought to my attention about the vacancy process. So I wanted to give you some statistics relevant. As you know, we divide the year on an August basis. The Vacancy Review Committee was put back into place in August of 2015. So that's the year that we've been running on, and you get those annual reports. Right now, we're looking at, so far since August, seeing 60 positions for your consideration. 55 of those have moved through, one has been denied, and four were held for either questions or other concerns to be addressed. That makes for the timeline that the Vacancy Review Committee had in place a 45% fill rate for immediately, 33% on 30 days, 11% on 60 days, and down below 2% on the held 90 days. So the positions that are coming before you are getting the attention. Many of you have sat through the Vacancy Review Committee process. What I'd like to do in the beginning of the year is have a dialogue about the process, how we do it. I've talked with the new legislators about where we've come from and make sure that we're addressing the needs of the departments. Questions?
Mr. Lightfoot.
Do you have a breakdown on the number of new positions
that
were included?
I can get that for you. There are, not to be duplicated in the numbers, but in the context of abolishing CREATE, there have been 12. So much like the net zero, there have been 12 of those out of the 60.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Any old business to come before the committee?
Mr. Akers.
Well, I just want to say tonight, we have three legislators that are leaving us tonight. Mr. Timmerman himself, this is his last finance meeting. And even though he's been doing a countdown from his very first meeting, 3 years, 11 months, 4 hours, or whatever, and Don Hooper, past finance chair, services, Chad, we're missing Lisa, Joel, and Greg. But I just want to say how thankful that we are that you contributed in these last 4 years. And it's been a wonderful experience getting to know you and to work with you. I appreciate your service. Thank you, Mr. Akers.
Anybody else? Any new business to come over the committee? Well, given that this is my last meeting, and since I have the gavel, I want to thank you all, too. This has been an interesting experience. It's been a learning experience. It's been a good 4 years. If I can give any advice to the new people coming in, it's you've got a great county administrator. I would say none of this that we managed to get a lot done in 4 years. We really have, and I don't think it would have happened without Ruth.
So one thing I would ask you to remember is to try to avoid trying to micromanage. It's not the 15 people who sit over there that run the county. It's the people who sit here, the people who sit over here and over there, and their staffs. This county is very fortunate to have the county administrator and staff that they have. We're in good shape. So thank you all. I'm told we have a need for executive session, so I guess my last vote will be a yes. Do I have a motion to move into executive session? Mr. Perkins, do we have a second to go into executive session? Mr. Hooper, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We are in executive session.